Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are or will be listening from around the world over the internet. Our message topic for this session is prepared in advance. You know, when Sojourners Fellowship was established, when the Lord moved on me to actually bring it about, He had talked to me some 37 years earlier about it, but had not given me permission to do it until a little over 9 years ago. And He told me different things that I was to make sure that people understood. And of course, sojourners, the word sojourner itself is somebody who's passing through. And so sojourners know that we are passing through this life. But the one that we're going to focus on, the one of the precepts that we're going to focus on in this session, is going to be that sojourners know they are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for them to do. Now, our scripture, our main scripture for this is going to be found, and is found, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Now, remember, I will be reading from the New International Version of the Bible, and I employ that to allow English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. But I do my studying usually in the King James or in the Hebrew or in the Greek, or the King James with the Hebrew and the Greek definitions on many words to make sure that I stay as close as possible to the original. So prepared in advance. And our scripture, as I say, is found in Jeremiah. So if you've had a chance, well, you can turn to Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 8. And this is the call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Now that's very interesting. You notice Jeremiah's reply. His reply was really much like Moses' reply, but I can't do this, or I can't do that, or look at my shortcomings. You see, when God is in it, there are no shortcomings. And that's how He gets the credit. If we only ever do the things that we're capable of doing in our life, but not allow Him to work through us to do things that we would not be capable of, how does God ever get the glory from our lives? You see, so we must make ourselves available to Him. You know, interestingly enough, we have things that there are certain times in our life when things change a little bit. And one of those times for me was when I was in junior high school. Now, it's called middle school today in most places, but back then it was called junior high school. And the vice principal from the high school came to talk to us about the subjects we would need to be able to graduate from high school. These, he told us, were the required classes we must take. So he told us what we had to have. Then he told us there were also subjects we could elect to take from a list. These subjects would be the ones which would fill out our high school curriculum, so we would have the required number of course credits to graduate. He explained that we would need to determine the direction educationally we wish to pursue, and not to take certain classes just because, you know, he said, just because your friends are taking these, you've always kind of been together, but now it's time for you to kind of specialize in where you need to go to accomplish what you need to accomplish. And so that was the guidance that he was giving us. You see, big changes were about to happen in our life directions. It was at this point many students found their parents injecting guidance and asserting specific wishes, desires, and hopes for their children's lives. many of these feelings and desires having been in their thoughts since before their child was born. You see, even while you and I were still in our mother's wombs, I would imagine that our parents had thoughts and wishes and dreams for us. Just as God was saying to Jeremiah that when he was still in the womb, God knew him and he had plans for him. You know, another good example of that is found when Zechariah was told about John the Baptist. Let's take a look at that in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts and of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready the people prepared for the Lord." Now, isn't this interesting? Here is another example. This is someone that this angel is announcing, you see. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and is announcing to him what's going to happen with John and what he's going to do in his life. So now we have from the Old Testament the story of Jeremiah, where there were plans there for him and there were plans there for John the Baptist. And let me tell you, there are plans for you and I, even before we were born. God has plans that he wants carried out. You know, back to the parents and they're giving their kids some guidance, many of the parents had very serious discussions, quote unquote, very serious discussions. Sometimes you might even know that they were sometimes yelling matches, certainly on the part of the child sometimes. And so it became quite contentious regarding what was to be done to complete their high school studies, what course of study they would take, what exactly they would follow. You see, parents have a desire. When they bring a child into the world, they have desires and hopes and everything for that child. And this was the first time for many of the students to learn that their parents had such deep and detailed desires and plans for them. Many of the parents were actually demonstrating their deep love for their child by attempting to guide them in a direction for the student's own good. This guidance was at times not well received. Sometimes the child's response was, "It's my life, I'll do as I please." Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that? Have you ever said that to people who weren't even your parents? "Hey, it's my life, I'll do what I please, I'll do what I want to do. I'm free, I can do this or I can do that." You know, sometimes before we say something like that, particularly if we're being talked to by people who love us and care about us, we might want to think once or twice. You see, some of the students now, they had a family business they could choose to prepare themselves to one day own and manage. The response to the parental guidance was frankly quite varied. But nevertheless, no matter what a person's earthly parents' desires and plans were, let me assure you that God has a plan. There is such a thing as God's plan, and each and every one of us, God has a plan for us. You know, I told some people recently that many people, because they are doing things, but they keep bumping into other people, and there's a lot of conflict and a lot of friction and this sort of thing. The reason is because while they both are trying to do godly things, they're not doing God's plan for their life. So they bump into one another. You see, God has always had a plan for His creation, mankind. His plan has always been to bless mankind, male and female, which He created with a purpose in mind. God's desire was for continual fellowship with mankind. God's desire is to have continual fellowship with you and I. If you're within the sound of my voice and you understand what I'm saying, you're mankind. You're a part of mankind, whether you're male or female. You are a part of mankind. And God desires to have continual fellowship with you. You see, and His desire was for mankind to spread God's kingdom on earth, represented by the garden. That's why He put man in a garden. The garden was a prototype. And in doing so, this way man knew what the kingdom was to be like. Because outside of the garden, it would have been something of sort of just chaos. But in the garden was peace. In the garden, every need was met. So there they were, and man was to have not only dominion over the garden, but he was to spread the Garden of Eden over the face of the whole earth. It's very interesting. Now, it turns out that God has anointed plans. You see, God's plans are by their very existence anointed plans. Most people, however, come up with their plans, and then they go to God and ask God to anoint their plans. Why? Particularly in our country, we're not used to living under a sovereign. We're not used to living under a king. We'll come up with that old statement that the teenagers did. It's my life. I'll do as I please. But you see, we belong to God. We're God's. We were created to have this continual fellowship with Him. So, if we're in God's plan, then it is anointed. When a person is not only doing a godly thing, but the very godly thing God has prepared in advance for them to do, all they do, I mean everything they do then, is anointed. The pathway is already cleared. If I do a godly thing that is not the godly thing God had for me to do, you know what? I'm in rebellion. You can be doing godly things, but if they're not the ones that were assigned to you. Now, don't misunderstand me here. There are certain godly things that are assigned to everybody. But then there are specific godly things that are assigned to you or to me, and they may not be the same ones. But if we're the ones who determine what our godly things are, without them being what God has determined for us, my friend, you and I are in rebellion. Because we're saying, I'll do it my way. And we're basically saying to God, you should be so glad I'm here doing some godly thing. Well, that's not the way it works. That is not the way it works. And to help us with that, then we also know from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, where Paul is telling the Ephesians, it was he being God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Now, what was their purpose? Their purpose is to prepare, he says in verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. The body of Christ is not very well built up today because people are doing exactly what the teenagers were doing. They're saying, it's my life, I'll do as I please. Then when they get in trouble, they go to God and say, God, bail me out. I didn't mean for this to happen. But you see, if we'll just get in God's plan, and God placed the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher in the body, to help people find what was the anointed plan for their life by teaching them the Scriptures. Now, we live in a day when people are so rebellious that they want to do it all on their own. They'll say, I'll just do it my way. I'll just read the scriptures for myself. God and I will work it out. I read the scripture that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Totally misapplying that scripture, but they feel comfortable with it. And they miss that there are anointed plans. And to be in those anointed plans, somewhere there better be in a person's life an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. Because that's the purpose. That's how God set it up. Not to necessarily run their life, but to put them in a position where they can see what the anointed path is for their life and to grow in their relationship to God so that they are in sync with God and what His plan is. And God chooses who the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers are. Those are not chosen by people. They are chosen by God. And there are people who are chosen by God to be that who are not that. They may actually be leaders in the devil's plan, but the gifting they have may be much like any one of those five particular functions that God put in the body of Christ, because those are gifts and talents that they have. And they may be misapplying them. Just as you or I, if we weren't even one of those, we still have gifts and talents that we're supposed to be applying correctly in God's anointed plan. But if we're doing it our way, and we have not sought God out for that, there's a problem. You see, I must seek God and His plan for me if I am to be truly happy, obedient, and fulfilled. My obedience is very much to have, you know, I really must have Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you understand that that is the authority that the believer has been given? To bring about it being done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the power, that's the authority, that's the anointing that we have. But we have to have that attitude and that behavior to bring that about. First comes the attitude, the proper attitude, and then comes the behavior. Because, why? The scripture tells us that our minds had to be renewed. If we claim to be believers and we're just acting like unbelievers, I'll run my own life, I'll do it the way I want to do, I'm really a good person, I do good things, so therefore that's all right, we've missed the whole point. You see, we have to have the right attitude, and the right attitude will bring about the right behavior. Now, what is right there? What's right there is what works within the anointing that God has placed on each and every one of us. Yes, if you're a believer, you have an anointing. And you're anointed to do a particular thing. And if all you ever do is run up against a brick wall, chances are you're not doing the anointed thing you were anointed to do. Do you remember the scripture that says that God knows what you have need of before you ask? That's because you're not a civilian. You're a part of God's army, and an army does not buy its own clothes, does not feed itself, and does not house itself. It is housed by the government, or in the case of a kingdom, the king. And make no mistake about it, we have a king in God's kingdom. And so therefore, it is the king's responsibility to do what most people spend their life doing for themselves. And then wonder why they're not making the progress they'd like to make or having the things they'd like to have. So they'll go saying, well, you know, I'm not too bad and this is what I want. You see, God looks on my heart and He looks on your heart as well as our behaviors. If I'm doing godly things with a grudging heart, I got a problem. If I've got a good heart, but I'm just too lazy to do godly things, I got a problem. And so does anyone else. We must seek Him to find what it is He has prepared in advance for us to do and be about the doing of it. Let me say that again. We must seek God. We must seek Him to find out what it is He has prepared in advance for us to do and be about in the doing. You say, well, where does that leave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher? Because they're the ones that help you seek it out. They're the ones that give you the understanding and the training of the Word of in the Word of God so that you can begin to learn it. If you want to do it without them, you're already in rebellion. Not because, believe me, anybody that is truly an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, or a pastor, or teacher has no desire to control your life. But they do have a desire to help you be all God created you to be. You see, why? Because verse 12 there in Ephesians 4 says it, to prepare God's people. If you're in the kingdom, you're God's person. Doesn't say your person, it says God's person. To prepare God's people for works of service. That means you and I are supposed to be doing something. We're supposed to be doing works of service that God has prepared in advance for us to do. So that the body of Christ, why? So the body of Christ may be built up. In other words, so that His kingdom can be built up. If we're not doing that, we're living in rebellion. Pure and simple. So we must seek Him to find what it is He has prepared in advance for us to do and be about the doing of it. When Jesus was a boy, remember this story? If you've heard much of the scripture from the New Testament, you've heard this story. When Jesus was a boy and His parents took Him to the temple in Jerusalem with them, He was immediately engaged with the temple leaders regarding godly matters. Now, do you remember what happened? His family left, and it was some time before they realized, well, where's Jesus? He's not with us. And so they went back to find Him, and you remember He challenged them? He says, did you not know I would be about my Father's business? There's not a one of us who claim Christ that every day if somebody says, what are you doing, that we should not be, we ought to be able to say to them, did you not know I'd be about my Father's business? People should see the Holy Spirit working through us in such a way as they know wherever we are, whoever we're talking to, whatever we're doing, whether it's at our job or in the marketplace or wherever we are, that we're about our Father's business. Why? Because He has works, He had them prepared for us in advance for us to do. We don't have to sit around and wonder. What we have to do is learn the Word, seek Him, get the guidance from the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, and then move in what He created us to be and do. And He created and prepared that for us in advance. So very important. But there was Jesus, you see, in the temple. And they went, where have you been, Jesus? Well, did you not know that I would be about my Father's business? You see, we must be about our anointed, prepared in advance business also. And that's my message for this session. Now, if you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's no better time to do it than now. Would you just pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I am here at the throne. In the name of Jesus, I have come. I'm sorry if I've offended you in any way. I want everything that Jesus has for me. I want to do the works that you have prepared for me in advance. I want to be in your kingdom, building your kingdom. You are my Lord and my God. Jesus is my Lord and He is my Savior. I accept Him now and I want Him to come into my heart. I want the fullness of your Holy Spirit. I want to be in the path that you have for me. I accept it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, you're in. Now, what you need to do is you need to find a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church to help you understand and find those anointed plans that God has for you. And then, when you find them, you need to do them with not just your might, but because it's not your might. It's with the might that He gives you because you have an anointing on you to do it. Now, if you're someone who says, well, I've been a Christian for years, and I never really understood it that way, and I never really heard it that way, and I've been doing kind of my own thing, and I've been doing really great and good and godly things, but I'm not sure they were the good and godly things God had assigned to me. Well, I would say to you, welcome to the club, because for the first 20 years as a Christian, that's what I did. And I sat down one day, and I told God how fortunate He was to have me working for Him, and what great things I had done for Him. And He said to me, I actually heard the voice of God speak to me, and He said, you're right, you have. I felt so very good about myself. And then he said, unfortunately, they weren't the good godly things I had assigned to you. Anybody who knew me would have said, oh, what great and wonderful godly things this man has done. But you see, I was a failure because I hadn't done the great and good godly things that he had anointed me to do. Every now and then I would stumble across some of those, and you know what? Those worked perfectly because then I was functioning in my anointing. But I stumbled into it because nobody had told me that there were apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to help me with that. And then when I found people who could help me with that, and I learned and I learned, and it was like the giant light bulbs came on, and I could see and I could understand it. One of the saddest things for me is everywhere I go, I see people who are stumbling through life who claim Christ, but they've never let him really be the Lord of their life. They've never sought out the anointing that they have. They think that one day they accepted Christ, which means they got the fire insurance, and now they're not going to go to hell. And the best that they can do, if you talk to them or listen to them, you don't even have to ask them about it, just listen to them, and you're going to find that they think life is just one misery after another until one day you mercifully die. Even though they're Christians, where's the joy of the Lord? Where's the things that the Scripture says they should have? They don't know about them because they've never been taught about them. If you're one of those people, then you go to the throne right now and you tell the Heavenly Father, I didn't know this and I'm sorry and I was mistaken and I'm here now and I want all you have for me. I want to be in your anointing for me. I can't do it, and I realize I can't do it, but I know that you can because you have a plan for me that you made in advance before I was ever born. And I know you love me. Now, if you've prayed the prayer for the first time or you sort of rededicated yourself just now, I want to help you. We want to do anything we can to help you. If you're in the United States or Canada, you can call me at 800-391-6944. We'll work with you. We'll get information to you. We'll do everything we can to help you learn what is the anointed path for your life. You can send me an email. Send me an email at thesojourner@sojournershub.org. He's saying, oh, well, wait a minute. How do you spell sojourner? Well, it's spelled S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R. Send me an email at thesojourner@sojournershub.org. If you're on Skype, any place in the world, you can contact me on Skype, the Sojourner 3734. That's all. There's no spacing in there. That's just the whole one thing, the Sojourner 3734. I'll be glad to talk to you. But give me a phone call. Send me an email. Skype me. But talk to me. Let me help put you with somebody who's close to you or will work with you. We'll help you do. This is what we've been anointed to do, and we'll help you do what you've been anointed to do. So that brings to the end this session here. So I want to speak this blessing over you. And with that will bring to a close our broadcast. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.